Tax Assistance Program. No experience is necessary. Free IRS training is available. Visit KenoshaUnitedWay.org/FIDA.
And welcome to the Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philwitt. Type 1, entering my 30th season.
Congratulations, I'm Dobie Maxwell, riding sidecar. Type 2, since 2011, learning every week on the show. We have special guests for you, another one we have later today. We also have a website for you to check out in case the internet runs out of interest and you decided you want to come see us.
There's lots of pictures, thediabeticshow.com.
And I will say, Mark, set up the website, too. I have a hard time. I have an 8-track player, so that's the schedule of technology level that I'm at. So thank you for putting the website together.
And once it breaks, we know who to blame.
And we have questions coming in, too.
Yes, that's true. We can always get there. Mark at the Diabetic Show, Dobie at the Diabetic Show, or just anyone at thediabeticshow.com. It somehow funnels to us.
Just anyone. Hey, Chef Boyardee, you could have put whole wheat ravioli in there pretty soon.
I wouldn't
leave
that up.
Hey, Little Debbie, are you single? We get those kind of questions all the time.
Dobie, I know you've had trouble sleeping this week, and it's...
Stress, Mark.
Well, it's our one-year anniversary. Well, not yet. I always say it's our one-year anniversary before it's the one-year anniversary of the show, you know, just in case. Look at last week. And it was last week because we were in the middle of a fourth and a fifth Saturday, this being the magical Saturday of October, or at least now.
It's our Halloween edition.
Well, it could be. Hard part is, though, when you listen to these somewhere in the internets, we don't know when you're listening, so this could make really no sense as possibly the rest of the show. But bear with us. Last show, we had you, and then we lost you halfway through the show.
I was going mobile, as the Who says.
Yeah, but then you fell off.
I was between two trucks in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and when the phone just petered out, I couldn't dial back or I would have been road pizza.
Well, see, the thing was, I kind of assumed that perhaps there was something bad happening to you.
There usually is.
So, to be honest, the website t-shirts, I knew Dobie when he was alive, they sold out. Now we're asking for people, you know, they want it back.
Yeah.
But then again, on the bright side, you just never know.
Like in Somalia, when the team wins the series in sports, the phantom shirts go to the third world countries.
So we'll talk about that anniversary.
Did you know that? Okay.
Next month.
And you are the only one that cares. So thanks for joining us.
A lot of people really thought the show would be gone about 364 days ago. And hopes are up. You never know. The day that you're asked to see the owner after your shift, you're gone.
Well, the polio show off the air.
See?
Dr. Jonas Salk took care of that.
See how
that
works?
We've got a doctor coming up here talking about diabetes, which is booming. Business is booming in the diabetic industry.
Actually, we have an optometrist.
See, that's a doctor.
Yeah, it's true enough. Dr. Steve Wexler talking about the eyes and the diabetic eye in particular. And so hopefully we can get through that without...
I got a bone to pick with that man.
Interesting.
No, optic exam right through, like 3 months before I was diagnosed, and they didn't see anything. I'm going to bring it up later.
You mean the backside of the eye or...
No, they said, you're fine, everything's good. You gave me a new prescription and it charged me through the roof, but didn't say anything about diabetes as a possibility. So I'll ask the doctor about that, because supposedly, I'm sure he can tell. He knows what he's doing. This person didn't. I was in a strip mall, eyeglass place. Now I got the big, Bootsy Collins glasses look like stars. That's what they sold me.
Some guy sitting out just outside Michigan Avenue right by the river.
Yeah, I got the Harold Lloyd glasses, the last one on the shelf.
Diabetic news. This is the end. This is the end of diabetes as we know it, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
Medtronic, the MiniMed 670G, the first one to be called an artificial pancreas, something that literally straps onto the outside of your body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, up to now, obviously you can use the old syringe, the bottle, if you want to, seem like a 60s or 70s swinging diabetic. Otherwise, now people go to the pens. Or the pumps.
Yes.
And up to now, if you're really big, you've got the CGM, the continuous glucose monitoring systems.
Right.
And that kind of tells you every few whatevers where your sugars are. But still, you need the pump to go with it. And then they kind of talk to each other, either wirelessly or actually some are wired.
Is this the Jarvik 7 of diabetes? Remember that fake heart?
I remember that.
They put it in a monkey first, and the monkey lived like 2 minutes.
It's a plus.
Yeah, and then was it Barney Clark? It's the first man.
Wow.
I want to go on Jeopardy. I know all these things that nobody. I couldn't tell you how to change my oil, but I could tell you these stupid little facts that nobody needs to know from 25 years ago.
Barney lived a long time.
I don't know how long he lived, but it was a while.
Longer than the monkey. Anyway, the Medtronic MiniMed, it's a closed-loop insulin delivery system. Mm-hmm. It knows where your sugars are, and it gives you the insulin when you require it. And so that's darn close to the artificial pancreas.
Sure.
Device.
You don't think Dr. Evil's got the artificial pancreas in his office in the Arctic Circle somewhere, and he's just waiting to hold the medical world hostage for it? I think so.
This is a major leap toward the holy grail of automated blood glucose control, the golden dream of us with the type 1. You, type 2, you got Medtronic.
No,
right?
I want you to be well.
Thank you.
You owe me money.
That's true.
I want you above ground and making money and solvent.
Developed by Medtronic, the device combines two existing technologies, the continuous glucose monitor, CGM, that automatically tests the blood, and the insulin pump that provides the steady dose of fast-acting basal insulin, as opposed to the Lantus.
Now, do you think this is going to be, I guess I always try to follow the money. Maybe I'm a skeptic. I am.
Sure.
But is this going to be something that's like $9.99 and then like printer ink? That stuff, you know, the insulin's going to be $3,000 an ounce?
If they're smart.
They are.
They're going to get you on the sensors.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's like you would say, give the printer and
sure.
sell the ink, which is more than gold.
Big time, yes.
With this, I would just give the artificial pancreas and go, oh, would you like some sensors to go along with that? And then that's...
It comes in cereal. You know, you used to get a baseball card. Now you get a little fake pancreas.
What happens is this will be something you insert in your body. It's not the whole thing, just the sensor now we're talking. Mm-hmm. And it will stay in there up to a week. Some people say 10 days.
Really, what size is the sensor?
Literally, I'm going to say it's going to go into your blood, into your body, maybe a half inch. And it, just a little tiny thing on the outside makes the connection to the unit itself mm-hmm. and just sits there.
So like a permanent IV?
Well, not permanent, because you have to pop it out every 5 to 10 days, depending on who you're talking to. Mm-hmm. It's been going through all the clinical trials. This is all fixed up, so it's just a matter of time. And most insurance companies will cover the unit. But then again, I myself have had problems with insurances, and some really great insurances.
You got Bob's insurance.
But he is a great guy.
And bait shop.
And the problem is, they'll look at you like, well, maybe you don't need every day, but we'll get you 4 out of 5 days.
Yeah, I can see that coming, sure.
Yeah, but then again, hey, they've got stadiums named after them. So anyway, the deal of that is it's in the process. I'm sure you can almost get it now, if not now, soon.
It's magnificent, though. Seriously, the great
it
technology
really is.
Leaps.
Yeah, and then hopefully those
George
people.
George Jetson is here.
Who are... get it under control, because that's the whole point. If you can keep things within the range where they want you to be with your A1Cs, which, of course, is your long-term blood, you want it between those two numbers. I can't remember right now, but it's in the upper fives, lower sixes, if not under six altogether, then you're fine. Then you just have to deal with traffic, keep yourself alive.
No, stress is a big part of today.
That is
true.
Name
me somebody that's not stressed. You know, Buddhist monks are stressed out when they never were before.
That would be a great show.
Copying scripture just gets to you.
We'll have to talk to General Manager David Cole about heading out for do one on the road.
Do a show on the road?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Tibet. Oh, we're getting signs from Russ. Oh, Russ. By the way, thank you so much for Russ executive producing
yes.
today. Gave me some fingers, and that's always good.
Down 38 pounds.
That's true.
Congratulations,
and
Russ.
He did it before he went diabetic. Mm-hmm. So he's still non or maybe pre, but you never know. Okay, let's
post.
Move on.
He's post-diabetic.
You never want to say that. You just don't. One other thing. One more bit of news here. They found out what are killing T cells that produce insulin. Now, this is, again, a type 1 story. For me, everything was going fine, you know, just absorbing mass quantities of sugar and sugar byproducts and, mm-hmm. until the T cells were being attacked.
Yes.
And that was it. All of a sudden, I'm not making enough insulin. Mm-hmm. And then here we are on the air with you 30 years later.
Yeah.
But apparently they are finding out what type of cells are killing the insulin-specific T follicle cells. We'll call them TFs.
Mm-hmm.
They also have found out what mechanisms might lead to an increase in the TF cells, and that's all good, because that means if they're not getting killed, there's a better chance you're not going to become diabetic. Then again, you only have to worry about traffic. So we'll be getting all that out to you. This is literally so new. We don't have much more of a story.
We do appreciate it. And if you should run across something in the diabetic realm would be interesting, please send it to us.
Yeah, we get a lot of our questions actually off the website. So thediabeticshow.com. Thanks so much. We'll get going on that. I tell you what, let's take the break right here. We'll come back and we'll be talking the diabetic eye with Dr. Steve Wexler, ophthalmologist.
Optimist. He's an unhappy man. He'll explain his title when he gets here. He's a doctor.
The Diabetic Show. And we're back. The Diabetic Show. Mark Philbett.
Toby Maxwell.
Oh, and the website, thediabeticshow.com, Facebook, The Diabetic Show. You'll get there from here. We appreciate all the reviews. We're getting good ones, actually, Toby.
You know what's amazing? We don't let it go to our head yet. We're not there. We're only a year into this.
Well, actually,
like Seinfeld, the first year, not too good. They picked up steam year 3, 4, 5.
We should really thank the Federal Communications Commission.
We should.
If it wasn't for deregulation, it's gotten a lot easier to get on radio.
They wouldn't let us near broadcast equipment.
Oh, but now.
Now we've got a show.
Anyone. I got the mule out back. Okay, anyway. We do want to thank everybody. We have the one-year anniversary show. Next month,
right,
we'll come up with something exciting.
Sure.
We're thinking about maybe Jay Cutler, but nobody likes Jay Cutler.
Including Jay Cutler.
Yeah, tell me about it. So we'll work on it. Or Hayden Panettiere. That's Mrs. Cutler, isn't it?
I don't know.
See, sometimes you disappoint me. Okay, now to a very special guest.
The feeling is mutual.
The eye guy. I like calling him the eye guy. He's an
optometrist. How hard is that, Mark?
Because I'm confused on the terminologies, Toby.
Okay. Starts with an O, ends with a T.
There's an and a
optometrist in between. Optometrist Dr. Steve Wexler joined us. Hello, Dr. Steve Wexler.
Hello.
Thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Mark's a good guy. He's type 1. I don't know if he's a little dizzy with the sugar intake. His A1C, he's got a comma in it.
Look. First off,
I have to take away his Mountain Dew.
I have to apologize for messing up. Yeah, but here's the thing: I always get confused between
optometrist.
Thank you, and an ophthalmologist. I say that better, and it's actually a harder word.
What
to
is
say.
The difference, Dr. Steve?
That was my lead.
Mainly the spelling.
I know. Well, you know what? Before we even get to the first question, tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
Well, I'm a practicing optometrist.
Thank you.
In Illinois at a Walmart Vision Center.
Okay.
In Waukegan, specifically. I've been practicing optometry for over 20 years now, if you want to ask specifically, 24. And I'm a graduate of the Illinois College of Optometry in Chicago, one of the finest optometry schools in the country.
I congratulate you for being smart enough to know it's never going to go out of business. Now, did your parents did this, or were you smart enough on your own? No offense, it's not a sexy profession, but it's going to keep you getting paid forever.
Correct. The tuition's high enough where they'll never lose money.
Right. Sure.
And I did my internship training in Minneapolis at the Low Vision Clinic at the Minneapolis Society for the Blind, where I examined and treated people with deficiencies in their vision due to diabetes, glaucoma, and other eye diseases. I was an examiner for the National Board of Examiners in Optometry, and I've worked in many different practice settings as an associate in private practices, as well as an associate in an eye surgeon's office. I am a member of the American Optometric Association.
The AOA?
The AOA, the big AOA.
Sounds like a wrestling federation. You got the tag team strap?
And as well as the Illinois Optometric Association.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
No, I really appreciate it, and you are credible. We appreciate it. Now, how is diabetes related to the eyes?
Diabetes related to the eyes is diabetes related to so many other parts of the body. The eye is just another organ, and it's a very important organ. As a matter of fact, if you ask people what they feel is their most precious sense, 99% would probably say their eyes.
Sure.
And diabetes is connected to the heart through a major vascular system. So what happens in diabetes also happens in the eye.
Explain that. You mean literally if you're out of control, I know before that's the first place they would look at those little vessels in the back of the eye, because they're the smallest vessels in the body, or darn close to the smallest, and that's where the first complications might show?
Correct. There's macrovasculature networks, and then there's microvascular networks. And the retina, and behind the retina, which is called the choroid, has, as Mark, you pointed out, very, very fine vessels, capillaries. And these get affected by increases in blood sugar in a major way. And so the eye is very delicate, and so when these traumatic injuries occur inside the eye, we can see effects of it very soon.
Well, what are some of the conditions or complications that can develop from diabetes?
Well, there's multiple complications that can develop. One obvious one is changes in the vision. The vision can become blurred, or a person's prescription can change, not due to ordinary changes, but due to increased levels of blood sugar. For instance, if there's a sudden spike in a blood sugar, that can change a person's refractive error, as we call it. That is the glasses prescription. So changes in the vision are very disconcerting for patients. Oftentimes, they just don't understand that it may be diabetic-related. So they're coming in for eyeglass changes, but in fact, they may be dealing with increases in blood sugar. Other things that can change are the lenses inside the eyes. There's a crystalline lens behind the iris, or the colored part of your eye, that can swell when blood sugar increases in the body. That enters the lens of the eye, and along with water, it carries water, that lens can actually swell and cause blurred vision.
I have to stop you, because I thought I had my first complication, my first real complication with the eye, and it was exactly like you're describing it. The vision gets a little blurry. As you can see here, I'm using the 78 magnification readers lately. Fortunately for me, and I say fortunately, they looked, because at first I went to an optometrist.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Very good.
Who saw a cataract. And then he said, try the ophthalmologist, because that's the person that's going to be doing the fix.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while there, Steve, you don't know. I'm always growing up thinking blindness means darkness. Well, it does for a lot of others. Blindness means complete blurriness, to where you just cannot focus on anything, letters. And what got me, it was the last going in for the diabetic or for the driver's license, and it was the old joke. He's asking me, is the little dot on the inside or the outside of the box as I'm doing the eye test? And my answer was, what dot?
What box?
What box?
Who are you?
Right. So how quickly do complications turn into something where you're talking about some serious damage to the eyes? And is this damage always one way, or is there a way to back it into clear, better?
Well, a person could have diabetes in the eye, changes, and not even know it.
Hmm.
For instance, if there is, and we'll probably want to get into this later on in the show, but blood leakage in the back of the eye can actually interfere with side vision. Small amounts of side vision could become affected, where the person doesn't even realize that there are these areas of missing vision. Glaucoma could increase, develop. What I mean by glaucoma is increases in pressure inside the eye can develop, and that's a painless process. There's no vision loss in that regard.
I want to stop you, Doc, because I think I take responsibility for the dumb questions. I'll ask you, could you please explain from a medical point of view what the definition of cataract is and glaucoma for people that maybe don't have it and maybe know someone that is? Just, I just want to know what it is.
All they know is that they're not seeing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, a cataract, as I mentioned earlier, involves the crystalline lens,
right,
which is behind the iris or the colored part of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
That lens will start to take on changes to the lens in the form of opacities. That lens can form vacuoles within the lens due to sugar influx into the lens.
Mm-hmm.
And the person will notice a haziness to their vision or a blurriness to their vision.
Mm-hmm. Driving at night kind of a thing with the headlights?
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. Headlight glare is a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of, I think you had asked about glaucoma.
Both of them. Because, I mean, obviously they're very different things, but I don't know the exact definition of both of them.
Yeah, there's some controversy in regards to diabetes increasing the risk for glaucoma. However, in late stages of diabetes in the eye, one can certainly develop increases in eye pressure that can lead to this condition called glaucoma. Increases in eye pressure pushes against the back optic nerve, which is the connection between the eye and the brain.
Right.
And that increased pressure can cause tissue damage to the nerve,
mm-hmm,
and that can affect a person's side vision over time.
Well, I tell you what, we're thinking about a break. We'll take the break here because I want to make sure we ask every question we need to from Dr. Wexler here. This is the Diabetic Show. Be right back. Welcome back, The Diabetic Show. Mark Philwood, along with Dobie Maxwell, and our special guest, Dr. Steve Wexler,
an optometrist. And thank you, Dr. Steve, for being here. You're really fascinating, and we appreciate people. We goof around, but we don't want to make fun of the topic. We want to make it lighter so people that know somebody or have it themselves can learn more about it. And you're doing a great job. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Excellent. Now, Dr. Wexler, if you had to narrow it down, what is the most common eye condition?
In relation with diabetes, the most common conditions, which happen to be also the most dangerous, would be what is called diabetic retinopathy and diabetic macular edema or edema. We'll call it edema because to say diabetic macular edema is a big phrase.
Okay, huge. You just lost me, and that I'm the idiot. What are those things and the definition of those?
Well, diabetic retinopathy. Retinopathy, if you break the word down, retina is the back lining of the eye, the sensory tissue of the back of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And opathy refers to damage, structural damage. So mm-hmm, it's structural damage of the retina. And in case of diabetic retinopathy, various things take place in the back of the eye in a almost sequential step involving the blood vessels. Diabetes is a vascular problem in the eye, and what happens with these blood vessels is that they become, over time, weakened. Blood will very slowly leak out of the blood vessels in sort of drips. If you can imagine a hose, your yard hose, that has very, very fine punctures in the hose walls.
Sure.
And these little droplets of blood leak out over time, and we as eye doctors can see these droplets of blood in the retina as small little hemorrhages. And they accumulate over time, and they can also secrete, the blood vessels that is, can also secrete lipid and cholesterol, and we see that as yellowish deposits inside the back of the eyes.
Does the person who owns those eyes see that at all?
Not necessarily. If it's occurring outside of the central zone of their retina, which we call the macula, that the macula is responsible for all your central vision. When you drive a car and you look at a road sign, or as we talk to each other and look eye to eye, we're using our maculas.
Mm-hmm.
If the blood or the lipid is not affecting that area, they may not know it. They may not have any signs of vision loss.
And it might be, I don't want to use the word too late, but it would make it more difficult if they kept not seeing an optometrist.
Correct. It's highly recommended that people with diabetes get to their eye doctor once a year for a dilated eye examination. and have the doctor look inside the back of the eyes for these leaky blood vessels. Macular edema, on the other hand, is swelling of the macula centrally, and the swelling can be centrally, directly in the center of the macula where it can impact vision profoundly, or it can be off to the side. And if it's off to the side of the macula, again, the person may not be aware of it. So it's so critical that a patient receive a yearly dilated eye exam whereby the doctor puts eye drops in the eyes, a waiting period of 15 to 20 minutes occurs, and the pupils, the little black windows of the eyes, increase in size so that the doctor can view the inside of the eye much more thoroughly.
Because otherwise you put the light in there, the eye has a tendency to make itself smaller.
Correct. One of the issues in regards to that, Mark, in terms of pupil size, is diabetes does affect pupils. So every now and then, well, I wouldn't say every now and then, but it's common to find that after putting drops of liquid in the eyes to dilate the patient's eyes, the patient's eyes don't dilate fully. Their pupils don't dilate all the way. Mm-hmm. And that's because diabetes does affect the nerve innervation to the pupil. And it's a form of a neuropathy, a nerve innervation problem that doesn't allow the pupil to fully dilate normally.
Wow. Now, are these problems fixable, or it's just a gradual, see you later?
Well, the good thing about neuropathy in a general sense is it can be fixable to some extent early in the early stages.
Surgically?
Surgically, not necessarily surgically, but when we treat some of the swelling or the blood leakage in the areas using medical technology, sometimes recovery of the neuropathy does occur.
Wow, neat. There's hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What advice would you give to anyone with diabetes?
Get a yearly eye exam. Every year, one should have a yearly eye exam through an eye doctor using dilation drops.
Mm-hmm.
Dilation drops. The doctor will assess the retina through the use of a microscope or a headset. The doctor may take pictures of the back of the eyes to record the present situation and compare that with future photos. Or the doctor may look at the back of the eye through a technology called OCT, which stands for optical coherence tomography, which involves a scanning laser that scans the back of the eye and creates a sort of a three-dimensional image, a cross-section, if you will, of the retina, so they can identify areas of swelling of the back of the eye.
Excellent.
Fascinating. We love to have you back. Obviously, we're just scratching the surface. How can we get a hold of you? If someone wants to see you for an exam, how can they get a hold of you, Dr. Wexler?
Well, I do have a website, and it's
Ophthalmologist.
Yeah, right.
All right.
drstevewexler.com.
Okay, one more time. I talked all over you.
No problem. That's drstevewexler.com. Uh-huh. One word. If they want to ask questions or make an appointment, my phone number is 847-473-2568.
Excellent. A quickie question for you. If you can answer it in 42 seconds, I would like it. I'm going in for the cataract surgery this next month. How scared should I be?
You should be very excited, Mark.
Really?
Absolutely. Cataract surgery is one of the most exciting things for people to receive because the results are usually instantaneous. We tend to forget about what our vision was like prior to cataracts, and after the removal, you see in a completely new and enlightening way. So I think you'll be very pleased.
As long as I don't have to lose these readers entirely, because I do look more intelligent when I do wear them.
And you do look more intelligent when you bite the temple in your mouth.
See, again, radio is leaving
pop
us all
the
short.
Lenses,
we're getting the fingers from Russ.
We'd love to have you back. Thanks, Dr. Steve
Thank
Wexler.
You so much
Appreciate
for
it.
Stopping in. Appreciate
it is my pleasure.
That. We'd love to have you at the website, thediabeticshow.com, Facebook page. We've got one of those as well. And again, much thanks to Russ for being the executive producer, and we appreciate you listening. Mm-hmm. We'll catch you next month for the Diabetic Show. Will Jay Cutler be on?
Happy anniversary. Tune in to find out.
No, he won't.
Okay. No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar.
This is WGN.